I jumped back into your essay, your pamphlet, the tech body, the book. Yeah, you call it a book? Okay. Yeah, the Trump. Why? What's the freaking title? I call it the tech body book. But I got to get the title.
Oh, it's tight. what we never knew about Trump, something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Trump's in that title. Because of our discussion last time on Tailgate about what the heck, you know, do I ignore the tech body? The Android meme's not talking to me. Is the tech body talking to me? You just said, you know, you don't resist it. You learn to live with it.
Yeah. There's a new Croker book. I'm waiting to get it. We'll have to see. I just read a summary of it. Sounds like he's still just talking with the Android meme. But maybe there's some new aspects that could be tied to the tech body description. So there's this guy, he's a Russian mediacologist. He's well known on the Toronto mediacology circuit. What's his name? Clinton may have even met him. Now he, let's see where this is. Yeah, he has his own Facebook page. Yeah, we should go through this. I'll put the link down here. Okay, so there's a click on that, and we'll look at his essay.
Okay.
So it's called, it's his own page. And he put out a book called Post-Journalism, Trying to Explain Trump. So the page is called Humanist Media, Homo Homini Media Est. And then he has this essay just below, Media Literacy and Media Engineering to Fight Polarization. Now, I don't know how much he's read of my stuff, but see what you think of this. He says in a dark print at the top, underneath the title, how can the center, not the extremes, become better responded to, better liked, shared, more popular, and more profitable for social capital and commercial monetization at the level of the very design of social media and the news media? The answer to this question is surely worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, that's us.
That's you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So he says, this is an excerpt. His name is Andre Mir. And Mir is Russian for peace, I think. You know, when Carolyn did Mir, it was M-I-H-R, but there was an echo of the Russian word Mir.
It means peace, or it also means world.
Okay. So Andre Mir, Post-Journalism and the Death of Newspaper. The media after Trump, manufacturing anger and polarization. So he says, polarization studies are media studies. And media ecology is a discipline that allows environmental causes behind polarization to be seen. So that's McLuhan-esque. Environmental causes, that would be the ground. Media ecology is a discipline that allows you to see the ground. The ground behind polarization. So he's saying polarization is the figure. In ecology, pollution is an outcome. And it's essential to look at the systemic forces producing pollution. Systemic forces, another phrase for ground. In the media environment, fake news is the pollutant, but the systemic force producing the pollution is polarization. And underlying it are media settings. A tiny note chart, the ratios among the senses that each quadrant is illustrated by, you could call them media settings. The extensions of the senses in ratios, right? Different proportions. Mm-hmm. And underlying our media settings. In order to fight against the cause of media pollution, one must fight against polarization, not fake news. So he wrote this a couple of years ago, I think. So everybody's talking about fake news. He's trying to be like McLuhan and say, no, you're missing the point. It's not fake news. It's polarization. So he says, a search for solutions that will reduce polarization can be conducted in two areas. Media education, the raising of people's awareness of how old and new media incite polarization. Now, that's what I kind of tell people. If you engage in any form of communication online, you're exacerbating the tech body, and he's going to take advantage of you, or he's going to use what you do, so you don't engage. And then part two, he calls that in part one, new media incite polarization. Media engineering, number two, the search for settings that will encourage news coverage in the news media and socialization without stimulating polarization. So he's saying, like a tetrad manager or a media ecologist would sculpt the situation and not cause polarization. Because if you engage the media and the online world unconsciously, you will create polarization. And that's the
that's
cliche
why you're
about,
the center.
Yeah, you have to. Well, he doesn't use the quote, but McLuhan said back in 1965, 66 in Forbes magazine that the new yoga will be self-entertainment. So this is what you do. You engage media, but you're not controlled by it. But how much do you engage? What's what is engagement? So he seems to be saying there's a solution. You don't stimulate polarization. So let's see if he can figure out how to say it. So he says media education and in a narrower sense media literacy have inherited the classical concepts of education, which are based on the idea of how to use media technologies, like writing books and computers. This is completely logical when media is seen as instruments. The goal of education was to integrate individuals into the physical and social environment via the use of respective techniques and tools. So media were instruments. No one would teach an individual how to integrate into natural biological conditions of living. How to breathe, for instance. On the other hand, some techniques of self-control, such as yoga, for example, teach one how to interfere with the natural way of breathing. Some schools of yoga, in a sense, teach how not to breathe. Now, that's interesting in light of what Ayn says about breathing and oxygen, right? And he's bringing up yoga. That's the quote from 1966, the new entertainment. The new yoga is self-entertainment. And the digital world made people engage themselves technologically more and more, right? They live in their little virtual bubble more and more and can broadcast it. The digital reality is becoming a natural environment for people resettling there. You have to click on that. He's got another essay explaining that. There's no need to teach anyone how to use social media or the internet. Just there's no need to teach how to breathe. These skills come naturally. Media education must focus on withstanding the power of natural forces. That's self-entertainment. That's yoga. Techniques of techniques for control of the digital body to teach users how not to breathe. Okay. When media are an environment, not instruments, in a fully immersive environment, so even though we've been, every technology creates an immersive environment, he thinks that digital is obviously immersive and people can understand that. But that's because it's the immersive digital chip body squared, the Android meme. And that makes people think they're immersed in it, whereas they already were when the Android meme was the hidden ground from 1960 to 1990. So anyways, he says it's a fully immersive environment, such as the digital one. Media education must be anti-environmental. Marsh McLuhan expressed a related idea when he stated in the Gutenberg Galaxy, quote, is not the essence of education civil defense against media followed, unquote. In the digital reality, media literacy is not about how to use. That's natural. Anybody can use it because it's nature. Digital media literacy should be about how not to use. Again, that's somehow disengaging yourself from communicating. Media literacy is the ability to mindfully switch between media, and that'd be quadrophenia, and ultimately to willingly turn off any medium, however emotionally attractive and sensory pleasing it may be. Now, we teach people how the communication is a mistake, and that's a way to get you detached from communicating. If you deeply realize you can't influence anybody, you're not going to be so fanatic about putting your message out. It's going to fall on deaf ears anyways. So we actually do what this guy is suggesting, you know, become detached from the pleasure you get from the chip body. In the physical reality, education mostly meant teaching the operation of material objects, i.e. spatially. In the social reality, operating in time has been growing in significance. The digital reality is purely social. It is space ignorant and time biased. In the digital reality, media literacy is time management in the professional occupation. So for professionals, it's time management. And for the private or amateurs, it's time hygiene. With the gradual accelerating merging of time management and time hygiene.
What's he saying in this paragraph? I'm following everything and now it's getting a little funky.
So yeah, well, he doesn't understand. He, at this point, he's not recognizing that the new media, the new digital reality is a space. But he may mean that by saying space ignorant. It's invisible and people don't know they're in a new space that's addicting them to polarized communication. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he understands it's space that's invisible and the users are ignorant and they're all focused on time. They think there's time. So Ian comes in as anti-environment says there's no time. It's a concept to help you get out of your time bias with the digital reality makes you focus on because you're ignorant of the spatial dimensions. All right? Now, if he doesn't mean that, then he doesn't know what he's talking about, and we can ignore this. It's all screwed up, and he's emphasizing time too much. Okay? So you don't want to. You don't need to understand it that well. Mm-hmm. So, or understand what he means. The first step to finding a cure is recognizing the disease. Media education starts with the awareness of the natural distorting forces of the media environment. So in nature, you look for the distorting pollution. So you do the same in the chip body or the Android meme. You look for the distorting forces like there is in nature. That's ecology. The anti-environmental character of media education means exposing the settings of the environment and attributing them to media, not to humans. Now, that's totally my definition of the Android meme. It's pretending to talk to you, but it's not talking to you, and it doesn't involve humans. That's what people haven't understood the last 60 years, that communication does not involve humans. The Android meme is discussing itself with itself. That would be the media of itself, the media constituents, right?
Yeah.
You get that?
Mm-hmm.
You're exposing the settings of the environment and attributing it. You must attribute them to media, not to humans. What we are dealing with in the digital reality is not people. These are people's proxies that are processed by media. Yeah. It's all fake that there's people. Media turn living humans into users with certain profiles and types of behavior. Now, what's interesting, you're going to see this as far as he gets, is that he's describing properly the Android meme. But he doesn't know my term, I don't think. I don't know how much he knows about me. But anyways, he could know about me because he's on the forum here and there. But because he's writing about the Android meme, that means we've moved into a new environment, which is a tech body. So the rearview mirror guy, the guys one phase behind Bob, are starting to notice the Android meme. And he does a pretty good job describing it, the Android meme. All right?
Quick question. So I noticed in your book that you lay out the Android meme, and then you have anthropomorphic physical, and then you have tech body. So is he leaning into the anthropomorphic physical because he's acknowledging the digital body in kind of a chemical body way in that paragraph?
Yeah, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see that coming up. Let's look for that. I think he does. So people's digital copies, that means they're, Derek de Kerkhoff calls it your digital twin. See, they just work with one thing, you know, one echo, one shadow, one new body. I say there's four, making quadrophenia. So people's digital copies are the result of two main environmental processes. The embellishing, faking one's own personality by themselves for better representation on social media. So you're trying to make yourself be what you think is charismatic or whatever you think is your purpose to look good in your terms is what you design yourself to be in the digital reality because you think that humans are responding to you and looking at you. right? You're deluded. You're dressing up for people. And that's not the content of the digital body. There's nobody there. So people are always shining up their YouTube, Instagram, and that for nobody. But they don't recognize that. Because part two, the intensity signaling and extremes amplification of people's behavior enforced by social media. So the enhancement of the chemical body by polarized extremes and other intensities is what the Android meme does. It makes you actually begin to think you're powerful. And he says that a little later. Okay, are you getting that? The signaling of intensities and the application of extremities of yourself is what you engage in the Android meme. And the Android meme, phase one, in my book, phase one, is the 90s when you just had dial-up. Phase two is social media. And that's where you have YouTube and you broadcast yourself a lot easier than you did in the 90s. So what were you going to say?
I've heard you say this a number of times, but my mind gets tripped up on the fact that you're saying that the tech body isn't talking to us.
Right.
But we're not the content, but we're providing content by uploading videos or posting comments or going on DM messaging and talking to each other. So I'm writing a message through a DM to someone on Instagram, and they're getting the message and they're responding. So there's the appearance of us being involved in it. So how are you explaining it so that we're not even the content?
Okay, so you see that above the one and two, that bigger paragraph begins the anti-environmental character of media education. Is that a little paragraph?
Yes.
Look at how it ends. These are people's proxies. The actual digital world, okay. The machines, they're not people that are processed by media. Then he says, media turn living humans into users with certain profiles and types of behavior. So the scanning of you and your activity in social media, they make a profile of you and sell it to Google or something, right? That's called surveillance capitalism. Right. But the point is, he's trying to say that, and I think he means by users. That's not a post-human situation or non-human. Turns living humans into users with ridiculous profiles based on your actions or what you search and engage online, right? So that's right. Your data bank, which McLuhan said back in 77, your data bank knows more about you than you do. You don't know all that the Android meme can say about you because it remembers, right. It remembers everything. So that's what he's accurately trying to communicate that there's something going on that is post-human, that's not including you. And he's saying it's okay. The processing by media. It's not people. You're being processed by media parts that are talking to each other. And then they sold it to each other and created this ridiculous wealth of Facebook and them based on nothing.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Right. So some people got paranoid and wouldn't go on Facebook or social media, or even in the 90s wouldn't go on the computers because they thought they were being tracked and whole data banks were being created for them. And they thought there were some humans behind that would come after you. So, but that paranoia is irrelevant. That's why my tiny note has after images of paranoia, schizophrenia, hysteria, panic, and ecstasy. It's all after image, meaning it's not involved with your chemical body and all that you think is your human. And that would include your astral body, too. So he's trying to describe this. So we're at this point. The intensities and the extremes, which are polarization, are enforced, created by social media, and make you think that you're a super communicator. They think you think you're an influencer, right? That's the popular term. You become an influencer. So here's where he tries to explain what I'm saying in his terms. He said, purified confrontation, animosity, and rage are media conditions, not human conditions. Human nature is more complex than that. Confrontation, animosity, and rage are extracted and refined from human behavior by the media environment for the media platform's better performance. It is a byproduct of the environmental settings of the Android meme aimed at higher user engagement, get you more and more involved, for more efficient commercial targeting among itself, pretending it's running something that's commercial. And eventually, after 15 years, everybody realized we don't have any fucking money, even though we're giving out trillions. The Android meme is giving out trillions to everybody. Now, remember, the tech body does it even more ferociously, which he's not getting. He's doing the Android meme phase two in my book. There's Android meme phase one, Android meme phase two. So polarization based on extremes, amplification extremes, of what appear to be human extremes, animosity and rage, is a disservice of social media. That's the problem, which unavoidably, unfortunately, accompanies the greatest service of socialization and self-actualization that people have ever had. Remember I've said that the Android meme people makes people think they're gods. This is phase two where you can be your own broadcaster, right? So you're self-actualized. Mm-hmm. You can enter the communication game, and either the tech body or the Android meme before makes you think you're important. And so in the late 90s and early 2000s, there were a lot of people who became very popular websites, and they had a lot of people following them. And that was before phase two, when people said, I'm not listening to you anymore, I'm creating my own website. And then they all started competing with each other to become influencers. So that's what he's saying. Polarization is the disservice of the service, which makes you a god by default in the world
of communication. And this is why my freaking colleague belches in the office and doesn't think that that's inappropriate. Because he thinks, you know, he's just so conditioned
Remember, where is he belching? You guys, like he's being impolite and he doesn't notice it? That's what you're saying?
He's in a public office for a company, and he's surrounded by coworkers, and he's belching so loudly and just keeps doing it. And isn't aware that he's, like, around people and that that's impolite. So he's so self-actualized and so self-validated that he's
so narcissistic.
Yeah,
that's a good example of the loss of memory of your chemical body or the social aspect of your chemical body's communication with other chemicals.
Yeah, totally.
So everybody looks at everybody else and says, what a fucking idiot, and nobody tells them, right?
Well, his other friend is just as gamified and, like, bubbled as him, and he's a dude, so he doesn't, I think he notices, but he doesn't really say anything. And then me and another colleague look at each other, and we're like, oh my gosh. So, it's a mixed bag. Yeah.
Yeah, you would never, if he was horny, he would never have a date with you. You would never date this fucking guy, right? He's made himself at B.O. The way he acts.
Well, I perceive it as young. Like he it's like quite young and immature.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, he's self-actualized. And you see, remember, being a god is ignoring social mortar. Well, within the world of social mortar, the Android meme is miming that, making you a god and thinking that you're indifferent to people socially. As an ascended person is, right? It's a pseudo version of ascension.
Yeah. Wow.
So everybody's so polar. Now this term
is that
polarization
what I am
may
means
not
about,
be the right term.
Is that what I am means about the ascend by default?
Yeah. Yeah. Tech body will have you ascend by default.
So he's ascending by default, but he doesn't understand. He doesn't overlay or have any of the of this engagement to keep him centered. He's just doing his own. Okay.
Yeah. Now, note the word center. We're going to come back to that. You said centered.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think polarization is the right word. So he's trying to describe something that humans are engaged in by default through super communication and competition and one-upping each other. He's calling that purified confrontation, animosity and rage, or polarization. And they're not, humans normally wouldn't be that polarized. And we know, and people say it as a cliche, they would not be acting the way they do in their chip body in person with people. They would not be calling him asshole and all that shit, you know, in front of you. They'd be more, a little more polite in the chemical body. So that's why animosity and rage are media conditions, not human conditions.
Does he have a political undertone to that polarization term? The
maybe.
Far right, the far left?
I think that's where he gets into Trump. This part doesn't get into Trump. Another part does. But, yeah, I think he thinks Trump is the ultimate polarizer, accidentally or something. Which is true if you're looking at the tech body. The tech body can use Trump's image that way. But anyway, so he then tries to define polarization. He says media polarization leads to the dehumanizing of opponents, which is actually a propagandist. Remember the way people online would be so eager to kill people who weren't vaccinated? They had no problem saying, these people are horrible. These anti-vaxxers, we need to get rid of them. They're killing us. See, that's dehumanizing of your social person who disagrees with you. They just disagree with you.
Yeah.
You want to kill them. And you're living in a chip body, almost a fantasy world, and you forgot chemical body decency. Media polarization leads to the dehumanizing of opponents, which is actually a propagandist prerequisite for the physical neutralization of the enemy conditions of war. He's talking about chemical body. A propagandist prerequisite is to dehumanize your opponent. Like when Bert went through a Marine training, that's what they do. And did you do that, Bert?
Yes, but it was the Army.
Army, yeah. And he was you learn how to dehumanize Viet Cong, Gooks. So physical neutralization now even has its virtual equivalent in the digital reality. The chemical body neutralization has an equivalent in the chip body. This equivalent has become easily demanded and applied. Technically speaking, polarization ends up in the implicit or explicit calls for the digitally physical neutralization of opponents, as they are not worthy humans. So yeah, they think they're still a chemical body reality, and they're willing to kill the digital person, cancel them. But they actually, it slips over into the chemical body. And they don't seem to be fully aware of the implications of their cancelization, how it wrecks people's lives financially and all that. So they're killing humans, and they're all mixed up in rearview mirror, don't have a correct image of what's going on. So polarization ends up in the implicit or explicit calls for neutralization of opponents, as they are not worthy humans. This would have been deemed as a war crime or an example of totalitarian terror in the chemical body or physical reality, but has become a daily 2 minutes hate routine on social media, often exercised by educated and polite people who would otherwise never allow themselves to engage in it in real in-person, that's chemical body communication. This is no doubt a media effect. They do it under the influence of media. That's true. They're doing it under the influence of the chemical body environment that they're immersed in, and they haven't noticed that they're in this new situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's describing.
So
Android
I have a question.
Effects pretty accurately.
What would they do differently if they had noticed? You just said they're acting this way because they don't know, and they're retrieving the chemical body, but they don't know the digital. What would they do if they noticed?
Well, you notice that up in the top there, he had two points at the very beginning. Media education, the raising of people's awareness of how old new media incite polarization. That's what we're looking to see if he comes up with an answer. He already did say at the very beginning, if you came up with an answer, you'd get the Nobel Peace Prize. And it's appropriate. It's a peace prize. You bring peace to the communication world. So he's already admitted he probably can't come up with an answer. But he's playing the words because he's an academic. So they have to pretend they are going somewhere. So this is his hypocrisy. Is he's claiming that you can get aware of this. Now, Ian says you can't get aware of this. You just take our fucking product and hope you're around and survive the cataclysm.
Yeah.
There's no way of stopping the cataclysm, is what Ian's saying. So he, as an academic, is still thinking we can stop the cataclysm. We can get rid of Trump, or we can do this, or we can do that, or make you, this is a little more sophisticated, we can make you a little more aware of McLuhan's point. So let's see how he does with that. So people are under the effect of media, personally, of the chip body. The same is true for the news media. They evolve towards post-journalism because of the change in their business model. Recognizing it, primarily by professionals in the media, but also by the audience, recognizing this change will help in understanding the roots of polarization. Environmental awareness and polarization is what Bob says, the media is fighting itself. Do not pay any attention to it, right? So environmental awareness does not release actors from responsibility for what they so routinely do. So in normal ecology, chemical body ecology, you take responsibility for your polluting. But it helps to see how people are pushed by the environment and that they might deserve some compassion and sometimes even some forgiveness. So he's saying, if you got some McLuhan awareness, you're not so mad at everybody being ridiculous and hypocritical and polluting because you know that people don't understand the present environment. That's what McLuhan said. You guys don't know what the problem is. You're going after the wrong thing. You want to clean up nature and pollute art, art being the new media environment. And people don't know that. They're too busy focusing on the rearview mirror, the literate Gutenberg image of nature, and trying to clean it up. And that doesn't achieve anything. So environmental awareness does not release actors from responsibility, but it helps to see, so McLuhan's environmental knowledge helps people see how much they're pushed around by the environment. And you wouldn't be so pissed off at them. You might recognize that you're pushed around and numbed also. So he says, by exposing the fact that animosity and polarization are not solely human features, but media environmental effects. See, it'd be better if he didn't use these old words, media environment. He should be saying the four body, five body model. Use my body model to describe these distinctions. Media is too general, and it covers, that was good for in the 60s and 70s, but it's a split up media environment into many bodies now. So he's one step back from Bob knowledge. By exposing the fact that animosity and polarization are not solely human features, but media environmental effects, media education can rehumanize people. So there he's hoping that he's saying something. Does he tell us how to do it? Not yet, right? What is media education? Reading McLuhan? It can reverse it. It can media education. What? Yeah. Media education can rehumanize people, so he's going to further explain that. It can reverse the dehumanizing effect of polarization. These are not people from the left or the right that would like to annihilate each other. This is a systemic design that makes people lean to extremes in order for the system to capitalize on polarization. So he's trying to show the economics of the android meme, and it's not human. It's for the media among itself. And since the Android meme is made up of human knowledge, extension of human awareness, then economics is part of it. So they come up with phrases like surveillance capitalism, that the Android meme is making money and enriching 1% and making 99% poor. You're missing the point. It's not enriching anybody. It's enriching itself. And what is this thing? What is the Android meme? It's hard to say what it is, but it ain't human. These are not people from the left or the right that would like to annihilate each other. It's a design that makes people lean to extremes. That's the effect of this situation in order for the system to capitalize. He thinks the system capitalized on extremes. And We could say extremes are just anything that the chemical body does. Generally, by the 90s, the media says that humans are becoming dumber and dumber, dumb and dumber. That would be an aspect of post-human polarization, the general dumbness and lack of decency in public life. That's a normal complaint by people and preachers in their pulpits, yeah. You know, and, mm-hmm. and they're thinking in terms of the thing in terms of the chemical body in humanistic terms at best, or in fundamentalist terms. You get a little more intolerant. Is that Evan saying something?
No, it's Susanna. Hey, you just said that the injured meme is just enriching itself. Knowing what is it enriching itself with?
Well, that's the thing. There ain't anything there in terms of human wealth. It's not making any money. It's putting up great statistics, and the budget goes up, or the taxes go up, or the debt goes up, and we now cut to a point, you know, 25 years later, where the debt is like $100 trillion, and no one even knows how to imagine $1 trillion. But that's an inflation of the Android meme, going through excessive computation among its parts, about itself. It's nothing to do with this world. Now, Baudrillard is very good at that. He describes the digital orbiting economy, which is what I'm describing, the chip body Android meme's economy, and how, because it keeps going, you can't have a 1929 crash in the chemical body. It keeps the chemical body free of a collapse that should have happened a long time ago. But because the digital reality seems to be real and relates to humans, they think they're making money and able to handle the huge debts, even though it's gotten so extreme that all the institutions are bankrupt. And that's the big thing that I am saying they're ignoring. They will not deal with the bankruptcy of everything. Instead, they have wars. And he said they started having wars in after 2001 to distract from people. To have a reason, the money goes to the war, and that's why there's none for you, so you have austerity conditions of social life, and you cut back on education and everything. That's been the reality since Reagan. That is a mistaking what the Android meme's doing with the fake economy, and people are thinking it applies to their world. But it's gone on so far that nobody can figure out how to solve the issue in chemical body terms. They don't know how to solve the economy. It's just too much. And so Biden comes in, and he's not paying attention to statistics. He's just throwing money all over the place, which pisses off the conservative, who doesn't understand what he's up against either. You get that?
So the whole 1984 and all this fear about computers taking over and becoming anthropomorphic and wanting to be human is all wrong. It's just the Android meme is just multiplying itself by numbers.
Yeah, that's why McLuhan said 1984 describes 1934. That's what McLuhan was refining and improving Orwell and Huxley's Brave New World. He was dealing with both of them and refining it better about what was going on because they fall short. Orwell wrote 1984 in response to Wyndham Lewis. He was reading Lewis, and he says this in a letter that Alan Mutton found, this Lewis scholar in England. Where he says he finds it very interesting what Lewis was writing in the 30s. He wasn't sure if it was right or not, but he knew it was on to something, so he tried to make a novel to work out his understanding of Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows that.
Wait, say that again? Orwell's reading
his intellectual problem. Yeah, he's reading Wyndham Lewis, and he says... There's not, and everybody else thinks Lewis is an asshole and a Nazi and a Bob and don't pay any attention. He writes to a friend saying, no, there's something in Lewis. I can't get it. And I'm not dismissing him. And I'm saying, as a leftist, he had to figure out how leftist ideology fit in this weird radio environment of the 30s. And his figure trying to solve intellectually what it was processing the questions that Lewis to put in his mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so Orwell, I didn't hear the subject. Orwell, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting about stuff. So what are we saying? So then, meanwhile, Huxley's coming along in the 30s, Brave New World, and that's another aspect of media seduction. It's different. It's saying people will die from amusing themselves to death. That's Neil Postman's point. And in his book, he says Orwell is not as important as Huxley. But after Neil Postman, some people said, well, you got to put Orwell and Huxley together. Well, that's partly what I did. So I don't put two guys together. I put four guys together, McClellan, LaRouche, and Croker. And you get a more sophisticated thing that leads into the five bodies, which predicts the sixth body, and then that's Ion. So that's, if the Queen's listening, that's how I did it. Your
ma'am,
honor.
Did you call her ma'am?
Yeah, ma'am.
Did you say ma'am?
Yeah, and that doesn't work. Okay. And then I say the court one, Your Honor. I've
got to
say, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
You're seriously narcissism. You're seriously narcissism, Majesty.
Or would you be like Trump and say, excuse me, Queen, I need to talk to Camilla here.
Move aside, lady. You're a nice lady, but I want to talk to your daughter. She's cuter.
So the phrase of these, back to the essay, the guy says, these are not people from the left or right that would like to annihilate each other. This is a systemic design that makes people lean to extremes in order for the system to capitalize on polarization. The lean to extremes, you identify those extremes much more nuanced by saying, you know, your five-body model.
Paranoia.
Literally, right, paranoia, schizophrenia, that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I break it apart. It's too, he's using the words media and polarization to cover too much. He's not seeing enough of the different kinds of snow. He's a Russian. He doesn't know McClellan as well as I am, so he just sees media. He doesn't see the 5 or the 50 kinds of snow. So polarization doesn't totally make it. He's calling the ecstasy that people get, the super godlike powers of Web 2.0, he's calling that a service. No, that's another disservice. That's ecstasy. That's another extreme. He's not including enough extremes. And you could make an inventory of, he's got rage and anger, but it's better to say there are different bodies you're juggling. And these bodies represent different, extreme mental states or emotional states.
Paranoia, schizophrenia, ecstasy,
what hysteria, are the and,
hysteria,
and
panic.
Okay. And that covers most everything of human.
So it's chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah. If you make it one word, but that doesn't tell you anything. You got to know the differences.
I remember.
So you're seeing.
Oh, go ahead.
So you're seeing, I'm showing how this guy's vocabulary is too, quote, simple or reductionist. There's too many factors in here for people to get it. I mean, there's not enough factors that he's dealing with. It's too simple. So he says, acknowledgement of these environmental forces and understanding its mechanisms and power will help people avoid the dehumanizing of opponents and tolerate at least to some degree the otherness of others on the internet. Social media and the news media. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's lying. Nobody's going to stop. Nobody's.
Right.
Even Ion gets irritated in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has an alibi. He says that's the tech body, not him. It's the tech body, which is probably accurate.
Yeah. I wanted to share a personal anecdote about the extremes before we move too further on. When I was first started to talk to you and learn your stuff, Bob, I remember thinking, like, well, ecstasy is, you know, it's awesome. It's the dog quadrant. Like, it's great. Then I remember you starting to, you know, as I was learning more and more, I started to realize, oh, he's saying to calm the fuck down. Like, don't be excited when you have ecstasy. Don't think you're having, like, the best day ever. Just, like, keep it chill, you know? Like, don't. And so I started to realize that the ecstasy part was also a disservice, you know, had a disservice side to it.
Well, you're missing. You're thinking of maybe sex. But ecstasy is why people take drugs. Why they take heroin.
No, yeah.
The drug.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, all of the, like, super feelings that we get from these conditions. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was smoking a lot of pot, it was like, or, you know, doing a couple of psychedelics or something like that. It's this amazing, ecstatic feeling. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the media is doing that to you because... That's an attempt to keep up with the media. McLuhan explained this, that LSD and Tim Leary and all that took over because people were stoned when the television system numbed their central nervous system. And they did not recognize that they were stoned. They didn't feel it as being stoned. But if you turned off the TV environment, which some towns did, everybody would go into total agony, meaning they were on drugs when there was a TV environment, and you turn it off, you become aware of how much the drug was, because you go into a cold turkey, and people get real crazy if they don't have their daily dose. So the whole electric reality since the telegraph has been one big drug, and so the chemical body since then tries to keep up by taking chemical body drugs. That's a way of thinking that you're trying to get in touch with ecstasy that the TV environment's given you, and you don't know it's coming from the TV environment. So you think it's drugs that are great, but you're just trying to keep up and feel the ecstasy that the ineffable, intangible electric environment is already doing to you.
Yeah.
People don't know they're stoned on media until it's turned off.
I'm looking at your tiny note chart to see the pattern, because I know you talk about there's some drug stuff in the quadrant.
There's chemicals in one of the quadrants.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In the